Mark chapter 5 in your Bible, please. It is good to be here. Hadn't planned to be here. Got in town Friday and went out to Butler's out in Milton to pick some Jeep parts. And I was driving past the church and noticed the parking lot. Hadn't talked to my friend in a while. And I know he's having some trouble with his back. And I have been down that road personally. And there is hope, brother. There really is. Just gain about 150 pounds. It'll fix a lot of stuff, man. And hallelujah, it's cushioned, man. And anyways, I just picked the phone up to call and check on him, see how he's doing. And he said, "Where are you at?" And I said, "Well, I'm right in front of the church right now, looking at the parking lot." He said, "Where are you at tomorrow?" And I said, "Well, going to church, but not preaching anywhere." He said, "Good, you're preaching here tomorrow." So that's kind of how this all fell out. But it is certainly good to be here. Mark chapter 5 in your Bible this morning. Boy, I so enjoyed the Sunday school lesson Amen. It's just a blessing to be able to be used of the Lord. Mark chapter number 5. When you found verse number 1, let me ask you if you can and are physically able. I always put that caveat in there because sometimes you ain't physically able. But if you can and are physically able, let me ask you to join us by standing. We're going to begin reading in verse number 1. We're going to read down through verse number 9 and then drop down to verse number 15 where the Bible reads, "And they came over unto the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains. Because that he had been oft bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always night and day he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him, and cried with a loud voice and said, 'What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not.' And he said unto him, 'Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit.' And he asked him, 'What is thy name?' And he answered, saying, 'My name is Legion, for we are many.'" Drop down to verse 15. "And they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion, sitting and clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid." I want to preach with the Lord's help this morning on this thought, when a maniac met the Master. When a maniac met the Master. Would you join me as we bow our heads for a word of prayer? Our Father, we bow in your presence this morning. God, it is good, God, to be able to dwell together and to worship together, God, with this congregation. Father, it is a joy and God, a great honor to be able to stand behind this pulpit. Father, I pray that God, you'd continue to bless Brother Tim. God, strengthen him and God, bring healing to his back. Father, I pray that you'd touch him. And God, I pray that you'd continue to bless the ministry, God, that is here. Father, we'd ask now this morning that, Lord, as we look at this text, and God, as we break it down, and God, we look at, God, what you could teach us. Lord, I know we're on the cusp, Lord, of really my favorite time of year. That is the time when, God, we give thanks for your goodness. Lord, that ought not just be on a Thursday in November. Lord, it ought to be every day when we unpillow our head and God, we get ourselves ready and can accomplish anything. Lord, we're grateful, but Father, we thank you, God, for this country. Lord, thank you for those that God had the vision, God, to found this country on a book. God, thank you that we don't gather together this morning in vain. God, we don't gather together around a novel or around an epic. God, we don't gather together this morning around a textbook. God, we gather together around a living book. God, Your eternal, inspired, inerrant Word. And Father, as I endeavor to preach it this morning, God, I cannot do that. And God, don't even want to attempt to do that without Your touch and without Your power. And Father, if anything is going to happen here this morning that is God going to make any difference beyond the last amen and us getting into our cars, God, it's going to be because You've added Your super to my natural. And so, Father, I pray that, Lord, You do that this morning. God, speak to us from Your Word. And Father, we'll thank You and praise You. God, if there's somebody here this morning that's lost, Father, I pray that today would be the day when they see their need of a Savior. And God, see Your provision of Your Son. God, we love You and thank You for Your Word. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said, amen. You can be seated. Mark chapter number 5 was one of my favorite portions of Scripture. There's something about that chapter that has always intrigued me and amazed me. Because in Mark chapter 5, we've got three hopeless cases. We look at a world, ladies and gentlemen, and a lot of times we as Christians feel like things are hopeless. Can I just remind you, God has a way of doing the impossible with the hopeless. Amen. When we find a man that is possessed by demons, people said he was hopeless. We find a woman who was possessed by disease. The people said she was hopeless. We find a girl that is possessed by death. Humanity would say that is hopeless. And ladies and gentlemen, each of those situations is hopeless until the darling Son of God passes by. And can I remind you that the only reason we are here this morning and we can say we have hope is because one day the darling Son of God passed by our way. Amen. Listen, He changed our situation from hopeless to hopeful. And first we're introduced to this man, the Bible says, who has an unclean spirit. Yeah, every place I've ever lived or ever been for any length of time, there's always that one individual. Most often it's a male, but sometimes it's a female, and they're just not exactly right. They walk the streets talking to people that aren't there. Amen. They kind of live in a fantasy world, and they're kind of a staple in the community. Everybody knows them, and nobody makes eye contact with them. Everybody pretty well ignores them unless you want to hear, amen, a fantastic story over and over and over again. I'm kind of picturing this man here in this place called Gadara as that type of fella. People had given up on him. Folks pointed at him. The kids stared at him. They tried to avoid eye contact with him. Amen. People whispered about him. But the interesting thing about the text, ladies and gentlemen, is that Jesus came. Well, somebody ought to help me right in here. Jesus came seeking him. If you know the text that precedes this in Mark chapter number 4, you'll know that Jesus and His disciples, after the miraculous feeding of the 5,000, enter into a Galilean fishing vessel. They sail the length of the Sea of Galilee. They encounter a horrible storm. And the only thing they did when they got to Gadara was they dealt with this one man. Because in Mark chapter 5 verse 21, as soon as that encounter is completed, they get back in the boat and sail back the way they came. Now you tell me one person's not important. Amen. Hey, he went through a storm, amen, to get to one man. Ladies and gentlemen, the fact of the matter is Jesus came seeking him, and the text tells us that this man made his dwelling in the mountains and in the tombs. It's not because he liked to live there. I've been told I travel, my wife and I travel full time, been doing it now 13 years, going on 14, and we've been told oftentimes that if you want a quiet place to stop at night where there's not much noise, that a cemetery is a good place. Now, I'll be honest with you, I'm not spooky, but I ain't spending the night at a cemetery. Amen. I don't care how quiet it is. Amen. You understand, some quiet's too quiet. Amen. I mean, listen, especially when you're a city boy. Amen. I hear folk talk about how quiet it is in the country. There's more stuff making noise out in the country than there ever is in the city. Amen. You get used to gunshots and sirens when you live in the city. But all those critters making noise all night long, and amen, coyotes howling and everything else, amen, it's noise out in the country. But the fact of the matter is, this man's living in the mountains and in the tombs, and it's not because he wants to be there. It's because he doesn't have any place else to go. The Bible doesn't give us any insight into his formative years, and so if you'll give me the liberty of taking this story out of antiquity in the Bible and setting it in a modern day context for just a moment, this demon-infused man would probably have been the one, amen, whose dad had abandoned him, amen, and left him in a single-parent home. His mama may have been controlled by substance abuse or drugs or, amen, some kind of, amen, mind-altering substance. And so he's pretty much left to himself for most of his life. He gets up into school, and because he doesn't have any help at home and he doesn't have anybody, amen, to kind of establish a pattern in his life, he's the class clown. He's the one that gets in trouble all the time. He gets set outside in the hallway. He winds up down at the principal's office. He gets down there for the last time. The principal says, "I'm tired of seeing you down here every day." And so he suspends him from school and sends him home. Now, where are you going to go if you ain't got a home? Ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you something. We're living in days when people are looking for some place and somebody to give them hope. Amen. And see, our problem is they come into churches just like this one, and because they don't look exactly like us, because they don't talk exactly like us, because they don't dress exactly like us, they don't feel like they can be around us. Can I just say, shame on us. Amen? I learned this, and I won't tell you all the reasons how I learned this, the way I learned this, Brother Jim Dare, but I learned that, amen, when people won't accept you, you'll finally, amen, gravitate down to a level of people who will accept you. And the fact of the matter is, he drops out of school, begins to try to find himself, and with no good influence and direction, he gravitates to others like himself. Until we read about him in our text this morning as a man who has a life that is totally opened up to and controlled by the demonic forces that dominate his life. Now, I'm picturing Mark chapter number 4 and Jesus and the disciples, preacher, are down on that Sea of Galilee. They're in that storm. I don't know that this is the case, but I don't know that it's not the case, because this man, the Bible clearly says his dwelling is up in the mountains and down in the tombs. And I'm kind of picturing, if you give me a little liberty this morning, him being up in those mountains and watching that scene in the end of Mark chapter 4 playing out on the Sea of Galilee. He knows who this is, because immediately upon that boat reaching land, he runs to him and worships him. You see, those demonic forces that control his life are aware who that is on that water and in that boat. And I can't help but think, ladies and gentlemen, that as he watches them encounter that storm, as he watches them, amen, face those winds and those waves, that maybe a wry smile, Brother Eric, might have arisen on his face, because those demon forces inside of him are thinking, "Hey, we've got him now." But something happened he ain't never seen before. Hey, a man stepped to the front of that boat. Somebody say amen. And spoke, and the winds laid down, and the seas were calm. And it didn't happen over a period of time, ladies and gentlemen. The Bible said it happened immediately. And I can't help but wonder if maybe he thought, if he can calm the storm down there, maybe he can calm the storm up in here. Oh, listen, ladies and gentlemen, I got to thinking about this story. Amen. How Jesus comes there to meet this one man. And there are several things that I notice in this text that I think are worthy of our attention. You do realize, ladies and gentlemen, that we have really but one purpose here in this life. If we didn't have that purpose, God could take us out. He left us here that we might be witnesses and testimonies and testify about what He's done for us. Listen, He created you more than just taking up pew space. I got to thinking, ladies and gentlemen, if we're going to deal with people in an effective manner, if we're going to reach people where they're at, Brother Jason Lanou, it might behoove us to study how Christ did it and try to learn something from His example. And so I notice four things quickly, if you'll give me just a few moments of your time. I want you to notice, number one, the Bible said, "And they came over unto the other side of the sea into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit." I want to say, number one, Christ went to his location. Amen. I got to thinking about that. Jesus had been teaching in Mark chapter number 4 in Capernaum, and he and the disciples enter into that fishing vessel to sail the length of the Sea of Galilee. Now listen, the fact of the matter is, hey, they get to that coast, and immediately this man comes out. Well, I got to thinking about the day, Brother Fleur, when he came, amen, to where I was. Listen, aren't you glad this morning? Hey, if you don't have anything else to thank the Lord for, you ought to thank Him that He came to where you were. Amen. Man, I'm glad He came to this world, but He didn't just come to this world, He came to my world. And He didn't just come to my world, He came to my home. And He didn't just come to my home, He came to my life. Amen. Listen, there were times when I tried to do better. I tried to pull myself up by my own bootstraps. I tried to make New Year's resolutions, but they always fell by the wayside just shortly after the calendar turned. Boy, that day when He came, that day when He showed up in my life, Brother Jim, how that day, amen, made a difference. And I'm glad He came to my location. Oh, the Bible tells us about this man. He was a man, the Bible says, was uncontrollable. They tried with fetters and chains to bind Him. You know what this world will do? They'll try to use the fetters and the chains of the law. Amen, to bind you. Hey, religion will try to use the fetters and the chains of the law to bind you. But I realize this, ladies and gentlemen, I'm thankful for the law. The law has an important place and an important purpose. But the law never makes an individual righteous. In fact, I know this about the law from having done a few things in my life. The law never tells us that we've done good. Amen. Listen, you've never been driving along in your car, following every speed limit, amen, obeying every traffic law, and the good officers here in Milton County, or Milton, Florida, amen, this is Santa Rosa County, if I remember right. Got to get my counties right. I was up in Elkhart last week, amen. And you've never had one of them pull up behind you, amen, ask for your driver's license, registration, proof of insurance, and them say something like, "It's been following you for a few miles, Eric, and I just wanted to tell you, you've done a great job driving on our roads." Amen. Now, you know what the law does? The law only tells you when you're wrong. The law only gets your attention when you violated it. Amen. I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, hey, just like this man, they had tried to bind him with fetters, and they tried to make him a better citizen. They tried to make him a better individual. But the Bible said that he broke those fetters, broke those chains asunder. Boy, I'm glad he came to his location. I want to ask you this morning, who do you know that needs the Lord? I'm talking about right now at 11:42. I can't see that far away. That's an old man's problem. 11:42 on a Sunday morning, the 19th of November. Where are they at? You know where some of you left them? On the couch with a remote in their hand. Amen. You know where some of you left them? You left them back at your house. Some of you know them at school. Some of you, they're friends and co-workers at your workplace, at your office. Amen. There are people all around us. Ladies and gentlemen, can I ask you, when's the last time you went to where they were and told them about Christ? See, this is a safe environment. Amen. I kind of the persuasion this is not a gun-free zone. Just kind of picked up on that earlier today. Amen. But this is a safe environment for us to gather as Christians. But can I tell you this? This ain't a safe environment for people to come as sinners. They feel very intimidated. They feel very uncomfortable. Amen. I'm telling you, we're going to have to go to their location. We're going to have to go out there where they are. Amen. Well, hey, listen, I realized this years ago. Amen. That boats that stay in the harbor all the time, amen, never create good sailors. Amen. But it's when you get out there where the storms are, where the rough water is, amen, where the danger is. Listen, I'm not saying you ought to, amen, live a life, amen, outside of church, but I'm telling you, listen, ladies and gentlemen, there are people out there in the world, I mean all around here, in what we would call the Bible Belt, that got all the right lingo, they've got all the right sayings, but they don't have the Savior. Tell them what Christ has done for you. Look at verse number 9. This is interesting. I'm going to give you the second thing. The Bible says, and he asked him, "What is thy name?" Now, you all know this. Jesus never asks a question he don't already know the answer to. So he's not asking him his name because he doesn't know what his name is. He's asking him his name because he's trying to understand how this man identifies how he sees himself. And the Bible said when he asked him, "What is thy name?" the answer he received was, "My name is Legion, for we are many." Now, the interesting thing about that is, when he answers the Lord, he doesn't even give him a proper name. Legion's not a name. Legion's a number. In fact, if you look up the meaning of the name Legion, it is a Roman military regiment that is somewhere between 3,000 and 6,000 strong. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I got to thinking, okay, why? Why would this man, when Jesus asked him his name, give him a number? And then all of a sudden, Brother Jim, it dawned on me. When your name's been replaced by a number, you're usually locked up and can't get free. You ever visit somebody who's been incarcerated? Hey, you don't go in asking their name when they know you're coming to visit. They say you need to ask for inmate number, and they give you a whole bunch of digits. Hey, this man says my name is Legion. Oh, listen, ladies and gentlemen, he is locked up by things that he can't get free from. Ladies and gentlemen, I got to thinking about that. Hey, the reason he identified himself as a number is, ladies and gentlemen, a lot of times we don't see ourselves as God sees us. We see ourselves by the things that control our lives. Let me ask you how you see yourself this morning. Don't answer. Just ponder. Because, ladies and gentlemen, can I say this to you this morning? That's not the way God... Somebody ought to help me right in here. We ought to be fixing to have church. Amen. I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, the fact of the matter is, if you see yourself as somebody who's controlled by a substance or controlled by a mindset or, amen, somebody who's controlled by depression or somebody controlled by deeds of the past, can I just remind you, ladies and gentlemen, you do not have to live that life. Well, I like what Brother Eric said this morning. Listen, when Christ died on the cross and said those words, "It is finished," amen, all of our sins past, all of our sins present, and all of our sins future were all dealt with. Romans chapter 4 talks about the word imputed. Man, that's a great word. Man, I'm glad my... Hey, listen, I'm glad my sins were placed upon Him and His righteousness was imputed to me. Amen. Oh, listen, ladies and gentlemen, hey, you've tried to change. You've tried to fix it. But can I say this? Why don't you stop trying and start trusting? I want you to notice this. Look at verse number 5 quickly. This is the third thing. The Bible says, and always, night and day, He was in the mountains and in the tombs crying and cutting Himself with stones. When you first look at that verse, the first thing that I think is somebody who is trying to, amen, injure themselves. Somebody who, and I've talked to people who feel like they're so bad that if they just do some damage to their flesh, they just cut their flesh, it will make them feel better. But I don't think that's what he's doing here. You see, there's a hermeneutical principle that we talk about when we're talking about Bible study. We call it the law of first mention. Generally, the first time a phrase is used in the pages of God's Word establishes a pattern for how it's going to be used throughout the rest of God's Word. So I went back to that and I thought, okay, when's the first time that we find flesh being cut with a stone? It's Exodus chapter 4. Zipporah takes that child, circumcises him with a sharp stone, takes that flesh and throws it at the feet of Moses and says, "A bloody husband you are to me." Without getting graphic, that rite, that ritual is a cleansing ritual. I got to thinking, I wonder if it's possible this man's trying to clean himself. He's trying to fix his own problem. You ever been there? Amen. And you do good for a while. Amen. You get victory over one thing and then, amen, something else comes up. Amen. Listen, I know because I've been this journey. Some others in this room probably been this journey. Listen, you got saved and you had an awful habit, amen, of, amen, smoking or chewing. Amen. And you quit that and you just pick up eating. Amen. Amen. I'm just telling you, listen, the fact of the matter is, can I just say this? You can't fix yourself because you didn't make yourself. Amen. Listen, Jesus not only went to his location, amen, dealt with his identification, but number 3, he helped him with sanctification. Ladies and gentlemen, can I just remind you that it is not my job and it is not your job to sanctify ourselves. It's our job to submit. It's our job to yield. And that same gospel that saves us is the same gospel that sanctifies us. Oh, listen. He's there crying and cutting himself with stones. Amen. You ever notice how it seemed like, well, I mean, listen, you try to get everything in order. I got saved and I got a haircut. I got rid of my music. I got rid of all my bad habits. Thought I had measured up to the standard, and then somebody else brings a new standard. Amen. There's an old Beatles song called "The Long and Winding Road" that comes to memory when I think about that. Because, I mean, amen, somebody's always got a new standard. Amen. Listen, I want to be exactly what Christ wants me to be. I want to live a life that's pleasing to the Lord. But can I remind you, ladies and gentlemen, at the end of the day, we are not going to stand before the judgment seat of the brethren. Amen. That ought to get some shout out of somebody. Amen. I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, the fact of the matter is, I want to be all that God wants me to be, and I want to yield to Him in every area. But when I try to change, listen, you ever wonder why? Man, I used to watch it, man. I'd pastor in a church, and man, I'd get people in, and they'd get saved, and they'd do all the right things, and then all of a sudden out of church and back out in the world. Amen. Twice as busy doing the things of the world as they were before they got in. You know what I realize? I realize when I'm trying to do it to please a man. Amen. If you're trying to do everything you're doing to please him when he ain't around, when you don't know you're going to see him, but when you realize who it is that lives in you, who it is that saved you, who it is that's working at, and by the way, when you listen to him as Brother Eric talked about this morning, and amen, yield to him and there's no condemnation in your life, amen. Oh, listen, there are some amazing things that transpire as you begin to follow the Lord. Let me give you the fourth thing, and I'm done. I want you to notice, look at verse number 15. The Bible said, and they come to Jesus. And see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind. The next four words to me are amazing. They weren't afraid of him when he's running around naked. Amen. Screaming, carrying on, a bloody mess. That didn't bother them. They got used to that. But when he's got clothes on and he's sitting and he's not trembling, don't look like a time bomb going to explode. Amen. He's in his right mind. People able to carry on a cogent conversation with him. By the way, I give you two guesses what he wanted to talk about. Amen? And it wasn't sports. And it wasn't politics. Amen? He's interested in talking about the Lord. He was interested in telling everybody what had happened to him. Amen? Why he had gone from the man they knew to the man they see. And the Bible said they were afraid of him. I want you to notice what the Bible said. Continue reading here. The Bible said, and when they that saw it told him how it befell him that was possessed with the devil and concerning the swine. Verse 17, and they began to pray him to depart out of their coast. They didn't even want him around no more. They didn't mind him when he's crazy. Wasn't no threat when he's crazy. When he's acting the fool. But now that he's talking about the Lord. Amen. Now that he's got something to say that's worth listening to, something to say that's life-changing, they don't want him around anymore, man. They want him. They're like, man, get out of here. You're making us nervous. We're going to have to answer questions that our kids ask us now. Amen. I want you to notice what he does. When he was come into the ship, I'm in verse 18. He that had been possessed with the devil prayed him. He might be with him. That's always been a touching picture to me. Because here's this man who met the Lord and his life has totally transformed. He goes back out to where he's been and they're like, man, we don't want you around here. And so he goes to the only one that's ever shown him love. The only one that ever cared to meet him where he was. He said, can I just spend my life with you? I want you to notice what the Lord says. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but said unto him, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee. Have had compassion on thee. He departed, began to publish in Decapolis how great things that Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. You see, Jesus told him to go home. He hadn't been home in a long time. Nobody wanted him at home. He hadn't seen his friends in a long time because, amen, they'd moved on to other things. Lord said, go back and tell them what I've done for you. You see, y'all, we've got a job to do. And it isn't to gather together on a weekly basis and just compliment each other on how the restoration process is going. It's to reach others. I was out there in Milton at that Jeep show yesterday out in Butler's. There's a couple guys that had old CJ8 Scramblers that had been, I mean, barn finds, but they were just loaded with rust and corrosion. Somebody who had an affection for that vehicle and had the ability and the resources. Well, somebody ought to help me preach right in here. Amen. Took something that you and I, Jim, would have said is hopeless. And I looked at it yesterday, and it was better than it was when it came off the assembly line. And I'm telling you, when he found you and me, we wasn't a barn find. We was worse than that. Amen. And the world would have looked at us and said it's hopeless. There's no hope for them. But I tell you, somebody with affection, somebody with the ability, and thank God somebody with the resources. Amen. Hey, got a hold of my life and began to change me. And I got what I refer to as a used to be story. Amen. So what do you mean? Well, there was a day when I used to be different. But I ain't that same fellow no more. And friend, if you don't have a used-to-be story in your life, it's probably because you're still being what you used to be. But I want to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, there are people, preacher, that say, well, I could never do that, or I could never be this. But see, y'all don't know what we were before Christ came to us and changed our habitation. We didn't always look like this. We didn't always talk like this. We didn't always behave like this and come to church on Sunday morning. We only came when we had to. Amen. One time we got dressed up was for a wedding or a funeral, and we resented that. Amen. Amen. Now we come because we want to. Don't come because anybody's taking roll. Listen, I'm not on parole this morning. Amen. I didn't come check in with a parole officer. I've been pardoned. Amen. Hey, listen, I'm here this morning because I want to be here. Listen, I when I drove by here yesterday and I called the preacher, listen, I honestly was looking forward to having a day off and a Sunday out of the pulpit because I hadn't had one of those in a long time. But he asked me if I'd preach for him this morning. It didn't take very long for something to be welling up on the inside. Amen. And said, yeah, it's what I created you to do. I know you're tired. I know it's been a long year. I know you've been in the pulpit, amen, more nights than you've been out of it. But I got something for you to do. I got a message for you to deliver. And ladies and gentlemen, can I say, He's here right now in your location. If you need to be saved, He'll save you this morning. He'll deal with your identification. Doesn't matter how you see yourself. He sees you as somebody that He gave His life for. If you're struggling with this, amen, thing of living the Christian life and doing all that, why don't you just come to an altar this morning and say, Lord, I have tried and I've been a miserable failure. I need You to do it through me. Amen. And then thank God He changed our location. Amen. Thank God we got a home to go to. Thank God we've got people to talk to about the Lord. Amen. It never ceases to amaze me. Listen, last week we were up in Indiana. I'll tell you this quick and I'm done. I'm a minute over, so don't dock my love offering, preacher. Just give me a bad grade in class, we'll be good. I was up seeing my doctor. I got knee problems. I've always been knock-kneed. The older I get, the more arthritis sets in. I don't have to go to the bathroom. I just look like I have to all the time. Amen. And so I was up seeing my knee doctor. And he's an 83-year-old Hindu man. His name is Kishan Chand. I'd seen his nurse practitioner a couple of weeks before and got some shots in my knees. He come in this time. And he said, I want to see you back in about a week. And I said, won't be back till April. And he looked at me like that RCA dog, you know. And he said, where are you going? I said, well, I'm full-time gospel ministry, and I said, I'll be preaching down south, and he closed the door. And he started asking me stuff about the Old Testament. Started asking me things about, amen, current events. And we was in there 45 minutes. We didn't talk one thing about medicine. He said to me before I left, he said, I'd like to talk to you outside the office. I gave him a business card. He gave me a cell phone. I'm talking about orthopedic doctor. I want you to pray for him. Listen, that was not my plan last Monday. My plan last Monday, Jim, was to go in, get a shot, come home, do some other stuff. But God had another plan. God changed my location. I'm really hoping He changed Dr. Chan's location. Father, we ask now this morning or this afternoon, God, that You'd take Your word. God, that You'd add Your promised blessing. Fathers, it has been preached. Father, we've all, God, we all struggle. God, we've all got areas of our life that we need to submit, surrender to You. Father, there might be somebody here this morning, God, that is lost, never been born again. Father, I pray that today would be the day when they know what it means to go down a sinner and come up a saint. Father, I pray if there's somebody here, God, that has identified themselves as somebody who's hopeless. Father, I pray that God, You'd show them that their hope can be built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. I'm going to ask several questions this morning, and then I'm going to yield the pulpit back to the preacher. What if there might be somebody here in this congregation, you'd say, Brother Phil, I do not know if I died right now that heaven would be my home. But I'd like to know, and I'd like you to pray for me. Listen, I'm not going to embarrass you. We're not going to send somebody to where you are. I just want to know God spoke to your heart. And I want to be able to pray for you. Would you slip your hand up and let me see it? Just wave it at me, and all I'll do is acknowledge it. I'll say thank you or God bless you. Anybody at all? All right. And by our own testimony, everybody here knows the Lord. I wonder if there might be some folk here say, Preacher, there's an area of my life that I've struggled in. Really, it's the thing that identifies me in my own mind. It's the battle I fight. It's the thing I can't seem to get victory over. The preacher, God spoke to me this morning about how I've identified myself and what I need to do with that and giving it to Him. And you say, Preacher, there's something I'm struggling with, maybe some area of identification or sanctification. You'd say, Preacher, I need God's help this morning. Would you slip your hand up and let me see it this morning? There's hands all over the room. You can put them down. How many of you this morning know somebody? You know somebody right now. They're on your mind. They're on your heart. You know you need to talk to them about the Lord. You've put it off. You've made all kind of excuses. You've justified it. And God has once again, amen, clearly reminded you that He has put them in your path, just like He put Dr. Chan in my path, to talk to them about the Lord. You left them at home on the couch. You left them at the workplace on Friday. You might be living in your home. There might be somebody who has your last name, the family you married into. You'd say, Preacher, there's somebody I know I need to talk to about the Lord. And my hand represents that person or some others, but Preacher, pray for me. Would you slip your hand up and let me see it this morning? God bless you. Man, there's hands all over this room. Father, Lord, we thank You for how You've met with us. Thank You for this text and this truth. God, I ask that You'd pray for my doctor, Lord. Lord, he's got the gospel in the back of my business card. Lord, I pray that he'd read that, reread it, reread it. God, that You'd prepare his heart. Father, there are people here this morning that, God, their doctor's not 1,500 miles away. Their doctor's 15 minutes away. And their doctor's just as lost as my doctor. Their co-workers are just as lost as anybody else's co-workers. And Lord, we can make all kinds of excuses as to why. Maybe we've not been the kind of testimony that we ought to be. Maybe we're going to have to go in and say, you know what, I've not done everything I ought to, but that's not going to prevent me from doing what I'm supposed to now. And then show them that things are going to change. Lord, thank you for changing my habitation. Father, I pray that you bless this invitation now. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name.